I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Yes. Episode 54 of Hacker Voice Radio. I think the date is the 3rd of November 2005, and yes, I am correct. Got a few news stories to talk about tonight. Don't know if you got my email or if you checked it.
I certainly did.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know if anything of that has caught your attention.
Yeah, one or two things.
Cool. Yeah. Tomorrow is the 2600 meeting. I'm quite excited. But I guess I found out that we'll be going to, after the 2600 meeting, we'll be going to Fabrics, which is a nightclub somewhere in London.
Oh.
Which is a bit of a piss take because that really, really comes down to what I'm going to bring. Just can't exactly bring like a laptop and fucking like wires, cabling, mobile phones, PDA, Wi-Fi, networks, aerials, cables, everything. And then expect
everything
to be,
you own.
Yeah, and then expect to be let into a nightclub.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm going to hope for best. I'm going to hope for the best that they're going to have some sort of
cloakroom or
yeah,
something.
Like a cloakroom or something like that, man.
That's a lot of expensive stuff to idiot with, though.
I know, but if you remember last time when we were together, we went to that nightclub. Oh, no, it wasn't a nightclub, it was just like a bar or a pub or something. And I was like, no fucking way am I going to put my, like, brand new laptop in there, man.
I know. I wouldn't. Because all they give you is a piece of paper.
Yeah.
In return.
Exactly.
And
like, you give them a pound and like £500 worth of equipment. And all you get is a fucking shit bit of piece of paper.
And that bit of paper is meant to be their promise that it will still be there, but
yeah.
I've been in so many blue nightclubs at the end of the night, kicking out time.
Yeah.
And you got some girl in tears because some jacket or bags isn't in the cloakroom anymore.
I know.
She's still got a ticket, but sorry, love, we can't
find it.
And that's
where you take advantage.
Oh, come here, darling, it's okay.
I'll take you back to my house and you can have all the bags you want, yes, in exchange for your skin. Sorry.
You freak.
I'm so not going to have any more friends after this episode.
This is the freaky episode.
Yeah. I would recommend anyone to download episode 910 of South Park, because it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, it's quite good. I really am a South Park fan.
What's that one all about? 910?
910 is, if you remember Mr. Garrison.
Mm-hmm.
He's now Mrs. Garrison, because he got a sex change. And they're doing like this thing where, I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but they're doing this like experiment where it's parenting, and everybody gets an egg, and it's like their egg, and they have to protect it and stuff. And if it breaks, they get an F, and it's like a baby. And then he figures out how much he loves Mr. Slave again, because obviously Mr. Slave left him because he turned into a woman, and he didn't like him anymore because obviously Mr. Slave likes men. And he comes around to Mr. Slave's house, and he knocks on his door, and you know, he says, "No, I've learned to forgive you, and I really want you back." And then Big Gay Al pops out from behind the scenes, and then he's like, "What the fuck are you doing here? I love you," and all this stuff. And then like, "Oh, but we're getting married, you know, we were living for like 3-4 months, and oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and So they're like, what, you can't, fags can't get married? He's like, oh, Jesus, Jesus Christ, you know, the senator's going to pass a law where same-sex marriage is. It's like, you fucking puffs, fudge packers, you can't get married. And then, like, basically, like, runs off, and he does this whole campaign about, like, banning, like, homosexuals from getting married. And then he's like, he rallies, he does this, like, huge rally and stuff, and it doesn't all work out, and that's about it.
South Park is still fucked up.
I know, but it's so good. But I recommend,
have to look out for that.
I recommend people watch it because it's so funny. It's really good. For all your South Park needs, visit www.mrtwig.net. It's my source where I get it. I don't like using the IRC because it's a bunch of fucking idiots and. I don't like their IRC channels, but yeah, do go on the website, you know.
Not our IRC channel, other ones. All the other ones.
No, I'm just saying...
they're full of idiots. Our
like...
one's fine.
No, I'm just...
Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did I not make it clear?
I don't know, I just want to...
No, I said I don't like using their IRC channel because it's full of idiots. Yeah. Not
I just
want
to be sure our loyal listeners in IRC.
No, our one's fine.
You guys rock.
Yes. Our one isn't full of idiots. It's full of really intellectually driven people.
Yes.
And the odd transvestite.
I told you I was drunk.
Okay.
It's not my fault.
How would you like 5 million emails?
Ooh, not very much.
Ah. Well, according to an article... a British judge ruled a teenager who sent approximately 5 million emails to a former employer. Oh, and he was not in violation of the Computer Misuse Act. Now, if you notice, I posted a little post on the forums about the Computer Misuse Act 1990. And it appears that the Computer Misuse Act is a bit outdated, being that it was created 15 years ago when a number of, perhaps most, of the current methods of misuse of computers were not even contemplated. What I'm trying to get at here is it only took 5 million emails to bring down their servers. Now,
only
5 million. That's nothing compared to, like, the companies that I know and I work for, that kind of mail traffic is just on a day-to-day basis. We get about, let's say, a good 75,000 emails just spam. In a week, we get about about a good 200,000 emails of just spam. Mm. And also, I'm thinking, how the hell did he manage to send 5 million emails? Let's say they were all like, 500k each. That's quite a lot of bandwidth to push out. Now, I think me and you would understand that you can't send them all at once. They're all queued and they go through a process where one goes after the other. See what I mean?
Yep.
Even then, the server would pick them up one after the other. And it would all be backlogged. So unless they were running some really old, obscure email system, which is what I think has happened here... And that's why he's used that exploit, because obviously he knows how shit and old their email system is. He's basically just, dosed them with emails, which is ridiculous. I mean, 5 million is nothing.
It sounds like a fucking lot to me. The firm I work for, we get something in the tens of thousands of emails every day.
Yeah.
And similar situation to you, 90-odd percent of it is just junk.
Yeah, exactly.
And crap and spam and Viagra adverts and viruses and all that crap.
Yeah.
That's not really a lot, being in the tens of thousands. 5 million, what was the time scale when they hit the server? Was it 5 million in a day or...
I don't know, they don't say. This is why I'm so... I'm not 200% about this article, because it says that, you know, it was hit with 5 million emails. Now, was that in a day, in like 3 hours? How many emails can you send in a short space? You know, I honestly don't believe. Look, because he was, the way I see it, he was let off under the Computer Misuse Act. So that means he must have sent that from his own machine. If he was using a distributed attack, I can understand the 5 million. in a short space of time. I really understand that because you know how it works.
Yeah, you got a lot of machines all of a sudden activate and go. Email time.
Exactly, but that would mean he'd be in jail now because obviously, what would he need to do that? He'd need access to the machines to be able to do that. So obviously, he employed a virus. I really want somebody to say. I don't know. I mean, how do you send 5 million in like a week from your computer unless you were running a script sending emails like every second? It still wouldn't DOS the machine.
The BBC really doesn't have enough information on this for our kind of tastes, you know. maybe if there were like 1k emails and you had it running 24/7 on a really really fast bandwidth kind of pipe, it could push them out. Oh, God knows.
Yeah, quite quickly.
Pretty quick. It'd take a few days.
But in saying that, it will be a steady flow of emails. Unless you sent a distributed attack. Because if I was just sitting there with my machine pinging like fuckloads of stuff to your machine, it won't do anything. Because it will be like, okay, packet, thank you very much, bye. But if I had like 1,000 computers doing the same thing to one machine, it's a focused attack. That will bring your system down quite quickly. Or at least slow it the fuck down. Depending on what kind of like firewall you had. That's what I don't understand and what happened there.
Yeah.
So they don't give you much information in that article.
It would be nice to have the real technical information.
That's correct.
Just out of curiosity, because as we've already said, there's several ways you could do something like this. So it's not like if they put the information in the news story, everyone would go, "Oh, that's a good idea. Let's go and do that." You know?
I'm sure everybody knows about distributed, you know, denial of service attacks and stuff like that.
Yeah, you've only got to type in DDoS into Google anyway. Exactly. I'm pretty sure there's a couple of pages out there that tell you all about it. So.
Precisely.
I would like the details on this, but it's not in the article. Interesting article, though.
It is. Now, if you haven't noticed, check out our main page on the website. You'll notice that we're hacker safe right now.
I just saw that.
Yeah.
Phew! That's a load off my mind.
Same here. yesterday episode, me and Planet were talking about this. Sorry, me and Ionix were talking about this and going, "Oh, wouldn't it be funny if we had their logo and the thing? We really got to steal it." So I just went on their website and like did a right click and copied the code over to ours. So I could just like manipulate it so that when you click on it, the reference goes back to their website. I did that so that people would like. Like, then browse the site and find out what it is, if you see what I mean. Mm. And then, like, go, "Oh, this is really quite funny." Because it's like, yeah, we're hacker safe.
Does that mean that none of our listeners can enter the site anymore?
Yeah, we've completely, like, you know, it's all hacker safe now, so, you know, the forums are going to be down, we're going to have a secure SSL connection to all our customers. And
no more bad people.
Yeah, evil hackers. Fuck. One of the things that really got me really pissed off today is because I was researching this whole anti-hacker thing, and the amount of things that I read and reviews and stuff on the internet is just like, oh my god, this is so against what we're trying to do. And it even started to make me believe that the things that we're doing is illegal, or it's evil, or in a way damaging, where it's like it goes against the whole principle of everything that you know, what we set out to do in the beginning. It's just crazy the amount of money that people can make from making people feel scared. Sorry, making money from people feeling scared. And the most, I mean, the thing that really gets me upset isn't really the thing that the hackers do, and even the ones that do actually commit criminal acts, as in crime, as in stealing something from someone. I'm more impressed with the hackers that do something like that and potentially will go to jail, but they do it because it's a statement, because that machine or that company and their servers are unsecure. Now, the average person, the average Joe, spends money and relies upon the security of that organization and believes that it's secure. So when something happens, they cover it and they shadow it in this like mask of, you know, the hacker did this, they're evil, they were trying to, you know, we lost 3 million, we have to recoup our losses. And you know, when fundamentally the reason it was done is because your system is so insecure. Mm. Now I have to think in my kind of frame of mind, and probably like 80% of the hacking underground culture, if somebody puts a fucking logo on their site saying this is hacker safe, tested every day, would that not somehow feel like a fucking challenge to the person? The first thing Ionix did was to scan their servers. You know what I mean? It's like, what? Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's a lot of money in
scaring
people and then giving them the solution to their fears, obviously. I do admire the people who go out there and do actually hack the targets that should be safe. They don't do it because they want to be leaked, they want to be known. They do it because, let's say, it's a banking institution. Yeah. A lot of people have got a lot of money there.
Exactly.
Everyday people, like you say, and they just bring it up and say, look, it's not as secure as you think, and I've just proved it to you. Now everybody knows. It's on the news. You can't really escape this kind of thing. Although those poor bastards, as much as we admire them, they are often persecuted and burnt at the stake, as most of those have happened.
Yeah, definitely. Cryptic.
Evening, guys.
How's it going?
Hello. How's it going, mate?
Not too bad.
Cool. It's good to have you back again after a short break.
Yeah, actually, it's been a bit busy recently. So.
Yeah. How's planning for Open Hacker going?
Well, we've in contact with the venue at the moment. They're a bit worried about the power situation. Apparently they don't like large amounts of electric cable hanging all over long, wet grass. Can't understand that, but, you know.
Why ever not?
I mean, as long as you're earthed, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot more safer than it was in Holland, anyway.
Yeah.
They didn't even have earthing over there.
If I catch Planet pissing on the generator, I'll be very unhappy.
I'll be 20 foot in the air, mate.
Yeah. Somebody get out the fucking airbags.
He's done it again, the idiot.
Yeah, just get him to drink lots of electrolytes first.
Yeah. Well, talking about weird drinks, New Scientist reports that Nestle has applied for a patent to ferment coffee beverages. In other words, coffee beer. It foams just like beer, and it packs caffeine. It packs the caffeine of coffee with a fruity or floral note due to fermentation of the coffee aroma. And I'm thinking, like, you're gonna have like wide awake drunks on the street, so you won't have the fucking can't. Ah, come on, you fucking cunts! You're gonna have hyper fucking.
Let's go clubbing.
Yeah, come on.
Wait a minute. Interesting point about this, actually.
Yeah.
They're gonna have a patent on allowing coffee to sit on the table and ferment for like years.
When that's been happening in my bedroom for years.
Students have got that patented already.
Yeah,
moldy
coffee.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get to the patent thing with that.
Yeah. Oh man, you could sue them. Like, I've been doing this for years in my bedroom, and like my mum's been complaining, and you know, I could be making millions out of this shit.
I told her it was for science all along.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't listen.
Exactly. Now you see how this is going to be like really doing good for the 24-hour drinking. Because you really will now be able to drink 24 hours and then have a seizure at the end.
Do you think this is what the government planned all along?
Yeah, I think it is, man. But, like, everybody's going to be like these fucking hyper-drunk zombies. And they'll only obey what they're told. Because they're going to be pumped full of caffeine and pissed at the same time. It just doesn't seem logical in my mind.
I think they've already got this in the States.
Yeah?
Coffee beer, because I was over there. When you sent me this link to that, I was reading it, I was thinking, God, that's familiar.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a dream I had, where I was in this bar.
And I was drinking coffee beer.
And I started thinking about it. I thought it was a dream at first. I sat down and I thought, hang on a minute, that actually happened. That was in New York.
Yeah.
I was in this bar and I was pissed.
How many stories start like that?
Yeah, I was in this bar.
I was in this bar, dot, dot, dot. That would be the title of my autobiography. And I remember talking to the barmaid. They had this big poster up behind the bar. It said something like, Budweiser caffeine extravaganza or something. I looked at it and thought, Budweiser is shit. But caffeine beer is an idea I had years ago. And they've finally done it. So I said to the barmaid, hook me up with one of them. He goes, you don't want one of them, sweetheart. They're fucking horrible. So I said, no, come on, I've got to try it.
You've got to try it, man. You haven't lived it. You've tried it.
He goes, all right, have one, but I'm telling you now, they're disgusting. Anyway, have one. It's like kind of a bottle of beer. It's a bit like kind of Bailey's or something. You know, it's a bit chocolatey and thick. I had it, and it was bloody horrible. Yeah, really disgusting. It's like chocolate Nesquik that somebody had taken a dump.
Sounds horrible.
Anyway, she didn't charge me for it. She just went, I told you they were disgusting.
Yeah.
I said, I know, I should have listened to you. Like, here's the money for it. She goes, no, don't ever drink it again. It's bad.
Okay.
Lesson learned. I'm staying away from it.
Do you remember that liquid cocaine I had?
In the pub, yeah.
Yeah.
This wasn't actually melted cocaine or anything that he injected. It was the name of a shot.
Oh, man, that was... At first, I was really kind of, you know, should I drink this? Should I not? What's it like? And you were going, oh, man, Jägermeister, fucking A.
Yeah.
So I thought, shit, man, you know, I've got to have a crack at this. So I took that one swig and I was like, fuck, I've got to have some more. Because that stuff was beautiful, man. It was the nicest fucking... hardcore alcoholic I ever drank. Alcoholic drink that I ever drank.
Mm.
It seriously was, man.
Yeah, the best thing you've ever drunk is vodka Red Bull.
I don't know.
It does pick you up.
Yeah.
It does.
A few times.
Well, Red Bull doesn't actually have any caffeine in it. It's the active ingredient for Red Bull is taurine, which actually comes from, well, it's called taurine because it comes from the guts of a bull. What effect it has is it stimulates respiration and heartbeat, hence why it makes you feel that much more awake, and it kind of wakes you up pretty much very quickly when you drink a bottle. So taurine goes straight to your brain, and it is actually a present ingredient in our guts. It's like a weird green slime or something like that. So they extract the...
present, right.
That's right. It extracts that from there, and basically when you drink it, it goes straight into your bloodstream, right into your brain, and it stimulates respiration and the heartbeat.
And death.
Well, I wouldn't. I drank. We had an experiment. I drank 15 Red Bulls in the space of 2.5 hours.
Holy.
And I was fine, but I just.
I'm sure you were.
But I just don't remember much of it.
Yeah.
I remember.
All these things people say are really, really bad for you. But then again, I've had so much of this shit, and I'm still alive.
Exactly.
I'm still alive.
Like 15 cans. I'm still here, I'm okay, nothing happened, I didn't bounce off walls, I was very hyper, and it was very fun, so it wasn't bad at all.
I've just got to spend the rest of my life on Ritalin.
Yeah.
Wait a minute though, after 15 cans, surely it's cheaper to get a gram of Coke or something and just snort that.
Mate, I know, but I had to, the only problem was... I had to piss like a fucking racehorse.
Really don't want to know.
I used to work in a bar, and one of the guys who was training me to be a barman, I saw him drink 5 cans, only five, of Red Bull, and he went off his nut. Seriously, he really freaked out, and he just couldn't calm down, he couldn't stop shaking, he couldn't stop talking to people and running.
Yeah.
He wouldn't walk anywhere. He's like, oh, can you get that ashtray over there?
He wouldn't walk
the 4 metres to the ashtray. He'd run to it, grab it, and run back. It's like, it was like the Flash or something.
Wow.
And,
well, I guess
this is in Australia, and they've got a cricketer called Brett Lee,
yeah,
who's one of their fast bowlers or something like that. Real famous guy.
Yeah.
And he was running around collecting glasses. Like I say, he couldn't walk, he couldn't calm down. And Brett Lee is there, he's a big fella, and he's got all these women around him because he's famous. And this little barman guy, he just runs up to him and he goes, "Brah!" Brett Lee. And this guy goes, "What's up with you, mate?" He goes, "Rah!" Again, runs off. Freaked out after 5.
Wow. Games. Well, I guess
God,
you know,
knows what you were like after 15.
Well, I you know, I wasn't like that. I mean, I guess different people have different effects.
I think he was just a bit of a spaz.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I certainly didn't do that. I mean, I know I was very. I could play Mario Kart very well after that, you know. I was like, really, I didn't sleep for about 2 days. But apart from like my general kind of presence, I think I was the same. I'm always fucking crazy anyway, so you know, it didn't really make a fucking change.
Yeah, but dude, if you're going to spend that much money on 15 cans, you might as well just take something interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, that was just an experiment to see what the effects were like, and they don't compare to, like, cocaine or anything like that, because it's a completely different fucking, you know, different story with that kind of shit.
That's mad. I never knew Red Bull had, like, the guts of a bull.
Well, the liquid inside the guts of a bull, yeah. The kind of bile sort of thing.
I always thought it was just some made-up compound or chemical.
No. It's actually taurine. Yeah. Because we did it for a science experiment. Yeah.
What we ever did was put a tooth in a glass of Coke. You know, back when I was...
Yeah, mad. Dude, you had really interesting chemistry experiments.
Yeah, I know, it's fucking good. Yeah, we did... our biology teacher was a drug dealer. So the lessons were great fun, because he'd be like, so how to splice coke and stuff, and, how to grow your own meth lab.
Nice bit of free labour he got at you.
Yeah.
Extra school credit for working in the meth lab after that.
Exactly.
Extra credit for being his guinea pig.
Exactly. So if, like, if I increase the heat, my yield goes up by 20%. Yeah.
That's the lessons the kids of today need to know.
Indeed.
Yeah, 1 gram of cocaine has to go around 15 people.
Yeah.
You have to cut it with how much washing powder? Mm.
Yeah.
Let me think. Math problems that they can associate with. Yeah.
Johnny has 2 ounces of crack cocaine. Sally, his crack bitch, requires 3 quarters, and his homies require 10/3. How much money will Johnny make off his crack whore when he pumps her to all his homies?
Enough to get a crack whore of his own.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, the other answer, absolutely none after he takes all the drugs for himself.
Exactly. Yeah. Never smoke your own stash. Well, yeah. No. How does that work?
Always smoke other people's stash.
Exactly. See, I think the best drug really is marijuana, because it's such a social drug. And, you know, if everybody was smoking dope instead of drinking, like, can you imagine, like, nobody will be motivated to commit violence anymore, and you wouldn't get fucking rioting in the streets. Everybody would be just, like, in the, like, corner of Safeway, just smoking a spliff and chilling out, man.
Yeah, you'd have no deaths from murder, but millions of deaths from lack of food.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, you'd get raids of, like, Morrison's.
Yeah.
Must get some fucking, not hobnobs.
The international chocolate shortage.
Exactly.
Man, what is that you've got on in the background?
Oh, it's just some music.
Ah. Pretty weird.
I know.
It's, I swear they were talking about something interesting. But...
yeah, thanks. Like, the adverts are more interesting than me nowadays.
Well, no, I'm just trying to see what's happening, yeah.
I guess after 54 episodes, I get a bit boring.
No, man, it's cool.
Let's put some heavy metal on.
No.
Some deep house?
Yeah, if you like.
I wonder if there's any drum and bass. Ah,
that's quite
better.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's what I think we should have every episode. Yeah. Really sets a flavour to the radio station. And in open source news, Nokia has launched opensource.nokia.com today. It's first place to look for information concerning Nokia's involvement in the open source community. Project page lists all Nokia development downloadable code, including Miamo, development platform for Linux based on handsets. Mobile news, NNTP reader, which I guess is like an RSS feed or something like RRS feed.
RS
feed. Python for S60, fuck knows what that is. Sophia SIP, user agent library, and much, much more. So do check it out. I think this is the first time ever that a mobile phone manufacturer has gone open source, which is just fucking fantastic, because this is something I've been waiting for, building your own applications for your own mobile phone.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's fantastic. It's interesting, but until they actually release the entire specs for the phone, we might be able to do the interesting shit that we really want to do with it.
No, I think it's fantastic because it's a move in the it's a step in the right direction. Very soon,
absolutely,
I think definitely they will be releasing at least, if not all, most of the core components to the mobile phone.
It's not quite there yet.
But if they're going to call themselves, if it's going to be an open source, then legally they would have to release the source. So
Would figure, yeah.
Exactly. So that's one of the. Something that really cheered me up today.
It's a step in the right direction, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I think it's just a matter of time. You know, we waited quite a long time for this. I couldn't imagine like Sony Ericsson or any other big company doing this at all. You know, like we're gonna open source like some of our most some of the most core components of our new brand new Nokias. But I think actually the new models of Nokia are looking really hot shit, man. They're looking fucking nice phones. It can't compare to the standards of Japan, but still, you know, we sit and wait and hope, you know. I don't know. I mean, the way I see it, the progression of cell phones and stuff like that is pretty much in the kind of all singing, all dancing appliance, where you'd have very high bandwidth capable phones of downloading rich media content on the move through 3G or something like that. but the only downside to them, I think, due to financial cost, they're going to be focusing those services like major hotspots like train stations, airports and stuff like that, because I really don't see that being available in Chiswick, you know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that's interesting today is that Microsoft just announced the
about their open source.
Yeah.
They released opensource.microsoft.com.
Yeah. It's not quite April Fool's yet, guys.
You got to save stories like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, this Singularity thing. I'm not sure exactly where they want to go with it, or where they want to compete with Linux in dependability, because Linux with the 2.6 kernel seems to be going, okay, we'll go completely sort of like unreliable, but we'll have all these nice features in, and Microsoft's saying, oh no, we've got to have a bit of reliability. Now, is this the world just going completely in reverse or something? I don't know. But but it'd be interesting
to
see.
Wait a second, are Microsoft admitting that they're unreliable? Because I think that's the keynote.
They are, yeah.
I think that's the keynote of that article. Yeah. Microsoft, unreliable, says Bill Gates. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that. Damn.
Yeah, but apparently it's going to introduce all this new trusted technology and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they want to push out onto the main platform so only their authorised producers can actually produce anything for Windows, kind of like a console-ish kind of thing. But, you know, it's interesting that they're going to do a singularity thing first, and then I think they'll move that into the main Windows thing, so everyone will have to put up with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sticking to Linux, so I don't give a fuck. I really am not going to...
Yeah.
I don't see any reason to upgrade. If I'm going to upgrade to, like... If I'm going to try... If I'm wishing to gain the, you know, graphic user interface coolness of Vista, fuck that. I'm going to be going with the Looking Glass project, because that's, like, 10 times better than anything Vista can do. Yeah, with the stability and functionality of a Windows box, all of a Linux box. Actually, today I was looking at building myself the most fantastic, like my dream machine, with like an unlimited budget. I was just sitting there, you know, with like where you got the checkout thing, you've got your little. Your little trolley, whatever it's called. And I was just going...
And then you accidentally click on buy.
Yeah. Well, I clicked on buy, and all the way up to putting my credit card information in, because I wanted to see how much it would cost me to finance the thing. And it's about £274 a month at 19.7 APR. The actual device costs £8,000. It's a dual processor, AMD 64 dual-core hyper-threading. It's like some. It's going to be 2 terabytes of hard disk space, all SATA. It's
that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's fucking insane. Like dual graphics card, dual monitor. Oh man, I was just creaming over this device, and I was like, oh please, how can I finance this? And I hate doing that to myself because it's really torturous. Like I could really have this device, and I've customized it to my own needs, and I can't wait to just have it and build it.
The problem is that when you actually finish paying for it, probably with the money from 1 month's repayment could be used to buy another one exactly the same.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. That's the worst thing, because after that I thought, if I actually paid for this in a very short amount of time, I could like buy 2 because they would dropped in price, and something else better would have come along. So yeah, because actually I started off thinking I'd upgrade my current machine, which is actually now at a standard. 3 years ago it was the hype, but as how technology moves, you know, it's still not the best. Although I am sporting 2.5 gigs of AMD. So, you know, it's not too bad.
Well, I've just upgraded to a 3200 plus AMD 64.
Cool.
And that's not that good. It's kind of like low range at the moment, but it'll play all the games that are out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything I need to do on it, it'll do. And you're looking a year in the future and you'll still be able to do most of the games and everything that you need. And there's no point having these really, really high-spec machines unless you just want to sort of, like, bank over it or something.
Exactly.
And what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
Nothing, well, if that's what you want to do.
I mean, if I was going to get a dual CPU hyper-threading, that would be like having 4 CPUs in one machine. I mean, it's completely fucking insane. But it would run so smoothly because you can have like about 2.5 gigs of just like virtual space of just like page file, like two gigs of RAM, like fucking 2 terabytes of hard disk space. Now, God, man, that would last me a while. I was actually looking at the fastest commercially viable SATA hard disk, and that one spins at 10,000 RPM. Whereas your average only spins at
insane.
It only spins at 7,200 RPM, and if I had like RAID 5, a collection of maybe 6 or 7 of these, I'd be
you'd be fucking broke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but there's nothing you actually need to run that. It's just...
Oh, I've got a few scripts.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, but it's just... Like you'll have a you'll have a supercomputer and stick it on there if you want to run something like that.
Sure. Or I could just, you know, play Quake on it.
But wow, 640 by 480.
Yeah.
I can't believe this mess.
Yeah.
But actually, talking about Quake 3, you know, it's actually possible to run Quake 3 and boot into Quake 3 and not into an operating system. Like you can boot into the game, and you have to actually do this yourself. Whereas you load everything into RAM, and you load the drivers, controllers for a graphics card into RAM, point them into specific directories, and you have to build. It's pretty much like building a small operating system. That the only thing that it does is plays a game. So the only process.
Sounds like Microsoft then.
Yeah, it plays a game with your mind. But the only thing that it does is it plays like Quake 3, and it's so high speed, it's very reliable, because the only thing that's running is the actual game. So yeah.
That's nuts.
I've been actually researching that today. I don't have too many docs on that, but maybe on Monday or something, I might do a short speech on that. But it's pretty cool.
So it's definitely Quake 3, not the new one, not Quake 4.
It's one of those anyway. I don't know which one, but I know it's like Quake 3, Quake 4, whatever.
Because I was just thinking, it's been a while since 3 was out, Team Arena. And 4's just come out, which I've not seen. So something crazy and funky like that, I was wondering if it's, you know, the latest version. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, it doesn't install as an operating system. Like, you don't, like, partition your hard disk for it. It installs just as the game. But people, like, crazy fucking hackers out there have been, like, partitioning their hard disk, making a bootloader for this thing, and running it as a fucking operating system. Like, the game loads straight into the thing loads straight into a game, which is just crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Definitely keep researching that.
Yeah, I will do.
Put some links up, because that is bloody interesting.
I'm actually going to get in touch with that hacker. We might do an interview with him or something, because it sounds very cool. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, on the whole Quake Doom series, if anyone gets the misguided idea they might want to go and see the Doom movie,
don't.
It's absolute steaming pile of shit.
Yeah.
I swear The Rock had more storyline when he was in the WWE.
Yeah. I tell you what, man,
can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
I grew up on Doom.
And it smells like shit.
Exactly. Oh, God, the amount of fucking people I bullied at school for saying that shit.
Well deserved.
Yeah. But I have to say, I grew up on Doom. It was like my first ever incentive to actually... break the law, or let's say hacksaw a computer, was to play Doom on my school network. So they've really ripped it apart. And I have to say, like, for people that love Final Fantasy and stuff, like, Final Fantasy the movie was decent, and I don't think it was such a disappointment as Doom the movie could ever be.
No, don't worry, Doom the movie wasn't a disappointment, because everyone knew it was going to be shit beforehand, so it didn't disappoint anyone.
Okay.
I think if you just watch the trailer, you know what you're going to get.
No, I had a real hope that it would be good, but, I mean,
how can it be good?
Like, I had this idea in my head that it would be just like a first-person shooter sort of thing, the whole movie, where you just see this guy, like, bopping along with his gun and shit, just, like, picking up items, where the whole movie is, like, fucking screen captures from a game. I mean, if it was that, maybe it would be more interesting, because you'd be like, come on! Come on! It's behind you! Sort of thing.
Dodge the rocket.
Yeah.
Right, left.
So it's
look
like
up. Oh no, sorry, that's 3D. We weren't in 3D back in Doom.
Exactly, yeah. You only had one frame of view. That was forward and back and left and right. And everything was 2D. Like, when you go around an object, it follows you because it didn't have a behind.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
Those are the days.
Yeah. Oh, Planet, do you want to do the last news story, the 13 grand subwoofer?
Just one thing first.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Can you believe that the Doom film topped the US box office? It went straight to number one when it was released.
For how many days?
I have no idea, but that's got to be a lot of money to get it straight.
Absolute proof that all Americans are stupid.
Yeah.
As if you needed any more.
There it is. I mean, that many people went out and paid to see Doom the movie.
I mean, if you
at the box office.
At least, like, if you're gonna do something, like, fucking download it, man. Like, it'd be.
I wouldn't waste my bandwidth on that shit.
I feel embarrassed that I did.
That's 2 hours of porn you could have been downloading. So what do we got?
I'm actually excited about this thing. The 13 grand subwoofer.
What's this? This is something that Bilal sent me.
That's right.
This $13,000 subwoofer, the T. Oh crap, I just got a pop up right in front of what I was reading. What a fucking noob.
XP.
Yeah. Okay, let's start again. This $13,000 subwoofer, the TRW-17 from Eminet Technology, is billed as the world's most powerful due to its ability to reproduce sounds with frequencies as low as 1 Hz. Typical subwoofers bottom out at 20 Hz, and while the human ear can barely hear below that point, it is still possible to fill the sound.
Mm-hmm.
This particular woofer does not have an enclosure, instead relying on a fan-like design, wafting a cone of modulated air into the room, and effectively turning it into a resonating box in its entirety.
Yeah.
That is what you said to me.
That's correct. The actual thing looks like one of those office fans. It is just like that. It looks, basically, the principle of it is that it rotates. It creates a cooling effect. And the actual blades on there vibrate at a specific frequency. So the air that it pushes out has enough power to open a closed door. That's how powerful this thing is.
Fucking hell.
My subwoofer, because I'm an audiophile, that's why this thing got me excited. My subwoofer can go as low as 10 hertz, which is, I think, just below the threshold of human hearing. So anything playing at about 10 hertz, I can't hear it, but I can sure as fucking hell feel it, and so can, like, most of my neighbors. But, yeah. It sounds amazing, and I don't know, is this, like, legal? Will it make you shit yourself? About 5 hertz is about the resonance of a rib cage, so, you know.
I honestly don't know enough about sound technology and hertz.
Would be an interesting way to commit suicide, though.
Definitely. Because parts of your body...
Pace yourself to death.
Like, you know, like, when a woman... like an opera singer hits a high note and breaks a glass, the exact effect can happen to your heart. If you got the resonance right, it will actually just, your heart will just go, or your rib cage, or your eyeballs, for a fact, anything that's that kind of that has a hollow shape that resonates at a certain frequency. I think the ribcage resonates about 4 to 5 hertz. I'm not sure, but if you want to research that, then I don't know. I don't know where you could find that information. But anyway, like how to kill people with sound.com, I guess.
Yeah, it's not easy, though, because the human body is made up of lots of different types of material.
You've
got bones, you've got blood and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the ribcage is probably just the distance between the ribs and the back of the ribs, basically.
Yeah.
It's probably what makes that.
Yeah.
But as far as actually making the human body explode,
we are pretty hollow because we've got lungs and then a heart, so there's quite a lot of empty space. The whole kind of breathing thing is relied upon that space to make us breathe. So I guess if you blasted like 4 hertz at somebody's chest, it will definitely make something go pop.
there's got to be a fairly expensive way to kill people. Right? Why can't you just shove them in the microwave and be done with it?
It would have to be a pretty big microwave. Unless you chop them up first, I don't know.
You know, that would kind of destroy the point of killing them in the microwave.
Axe from home base, $20. Hacking up somebody you don't like, priceless.
But, like, I mean, this thing is the size of, like, one of those winch motors on a 4x4 Jeep. It has blades, about three or four blades on the front, and it has enough power to open, literally, it will open a closed door when it's going, with just sound. It doesn't even have to touch it, it will just, like, blast the sound and open it takes a lot of force to open a closed door. You know, so it's pretty high speed, man. I don't know what kind of use you'd have that in a home, because you can't hear the sound, you just feel the vibrations.
Opening doors.
Yeah, just like...
closing
it's
doors.
Probably not really meant for a home, though, is it?
No, I don't know what kind of market what kind of market do you fucking target that? I mean, like, apart from... huge kind of arenas, but it wouldn't be effective in an arena or a home cinema or a cinema for that matter. It's designed
pretty effective in the cinema.
Unless you had two or three of them.
Yeah.
Well, from what you've just said, it sounds like its market belongs in weapons technology.
Yes, exactly.
I'm fucking scared of this subwoofer now. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, post a link on the forums anyway, I'll take a look.
I will do. I will do.
Get some info on it.
Yeah. But yeah, you can be the proud owner of a killer subwoofer. I mean, as long as it blows the clothes off a woman, I don't give a fuck. Ooh, we got some links from... We got some hits from France.
That's bonjour.
Bonjour, French listeners. And Morocco as well. And this guy had to correct his spelling for Hacker Voice. what else? Yeah, if anyone has any ideas of how we can boost our hits, do let us know. I'm currently going to be modifying the front page a bit more so that we can have some kind of metadata content hit thingies, whatever they're called. But yeah, we seem to be doing all right as far as hits go.
Cool stuff.
Any progress on the DVDs?
No, it's all coming along nice. The only thing I was going to ask you today is, should we do the bonus content on Sunday as opposed to Saturday? Then that gives me all of Saturday to rip this biatch apart and find out what is making that noise.
Yeah, definitely.
Get rid of it. Yeah. So, yeah, if it's cool with Ionix as well, because I know he's got a schedule thing going on.
Yeah.
He's got stuff already planned. I'll have to get in touch with him. But, if we can move it to Sunday rather than Saturday, then, yeah. Cool.
That's fine. That's fine with me.
Just want to make sure we get the best audio possible.
Sure.
There's something going on at my end.
Yeah. I mean,
kill it.
If worst comes to the worst, then just give me a call through Skype.
Yeah.
Because that seems to work. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Apart from that, mate, it's all systems go. The cover's fine.
Do you have all the episodes so far?
It's quiet on the DVD. That's cool. We're going to burn some bonus content. Burn the mobile.
So you've got you pretty much got all the episodes on there. Hello. Hello. I think it just cut out there. Hello. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yep, there
cool.
you are. You're back again.
Yeah, it's just I loaded up my soft phone, so in case Ionix was going to call. Anyway, I don't know if you heard me. I was just asking. Did you manage to get all the episodes down?
I seem to have. There's a couple missing, which I've got to get from archive.org. I thought it was a problem until last night, but I've gone on there and they do seem to be there. So we're like two or three episode downloads away from full set.
Fantastic.
Unless there's anything really wrong with those two or three, then we're ready to go.
Cool. Okay. That sounds good. I'm sure everybody will be happy to hear that. And hopefully we can get some of these things sold. Hello.
I've lost you again.
Yeah, just saying. I'm glad. I'm pretty sure everybody else will be quite happy to hear that, and we can get some of these things sold.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Are you still there, Cryptic?
Yeah, I'm here.
Cool. Okay. I just wanted to check if everything was still alive.
Waking up a little bit here as well, but just about still on.
Yeah, you did start breaking up with whatever you just loaded.
All right, I've just closed it then.
Perfect. Yeah.
Am I still breaking up?
Yeah, hold on. Try reconnecting.
Okay. See what happens when I try and do something. We really need an Asterisk server. So fast. What do you think? Yes, I think we need an Asterisk server. Yes. Oh, man. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I broke up there, didn't I?
Yep.
I know. I was pretending you were talking back to me. Because I knew you couldn't hear me.
Sorry?
I said I was pretending. I was pretending that you were talking back to me, so. Because I knew you couldn't hear me. Yeah. Indeed.
No, I'm getting nothing.
Cool. That's good.
Okay, I'm hearing you now.
I know. I just muted myself. No, I'm joking.
Fuck you two.
The person who you're trying to reach is currently not available. Please leave a...
No, I was just saying, I don't even remember what I was saying because I probably repeated it like three or four times. Never mind. Oh, somebody's calling me. Oh, fuck.
Bobby Crips.
Yeah, it was, but I didn't have enough time to click on OK. I'll call him back.
Hey, is that better?
Yeah, it seems so.
I meant to disconnect from Skype, but I accidentally clicked on the button that said disconnect my entire network
connection. Oh, ownage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I've done that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
What are you running?
This is Ubuntu, actually.
Oh, right, cool. I didn't have much luck with Ubuntu.
No, I was just trying it out. I've just managed to clear some space on my hard drive because of my clearing all my old stuff off to install a new operating system. So I thought I'd stick this on here yesterday just to see what it was like.
Cool. What's it like?
A bit shit, really. But
it's
not so bad, but it's...
Yeah, I can't even rate it because... the furthest I got from it was the mouse came up and that was it. And that's as far as the operating system went. The mouse and the desktop loaded and that was it.
Well, I would say it's Debian for Windows users.
No, I mean the reason that it did that is because of my laptop. It didn't support it. So I can't judge it on that side of things, you know. I'm sure it's a really nice operating system, and I'm sure it's very easy to use and simplistic and fun and, you know, whatever. But, I definitely won't be, like, installing it, because there isn't a live CD of it, and that turns me away, because that means I have to take a risk and stuff like that, and I don't like doing that, because it means downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to a LAN party tomorrow and decide to reinstall everything the night before, so it's kind of like taking a big chance, really.
Yeah, definitely. Like finding out you don't have an operating system anymore.
Yeah, pretty much.
You'd be so screwed.
I can still run Quake 4 on it.
Yeah, just boot off Quake 4.
How many people you got at the LAN party?
About 40 or 50, I guess.
Jeez,
it's not going to be
nice.
Huge.
Where is
Sorry?
That?
Sounds pretty flipping big.
Yeah.
It's at Essex University.
Oh, wow. I've never been to a UK LAN party, ever.
Yeah, come along to the next, what's it called, Strat LAN or whatever they do with Multiplay UK.
Yeah.
Oh, I-26.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, that's pretty soon. My brain still works.
Next week, isn't it?
It could be, yeah, if it's not already happened. I don't know the details, but I know it's happening dead soon.
I'm pretty sure it is next week.
Yeah. I'll go with next week because I have no idea.
Whereabouts is that?
That's at Newbury Racecourse.
Oh, right. That's probably quite far from London.
Well, it's not that far, actually. It's about just out near Reading.
Oh, right. Oh, that's too far. And too close to work. Fuck that.
You're absolutely right, mate. It is the 11th of November until the 13th of November.
So, next Friday?
Yeah, cool. That's right. Next Friday and the weekend attached to it. Newbury Racecourse.
So, anybody close to Reading, hop along down there.
And let us know what you think when you get back.
And make sure to pimp our website.
Hell yeah.
Go around to every single computer and just like set Hacker Voice Radio as the homepage.
Yeah, I would do, but not sure if I'm going yet because I need to get transport down there. So if anyone's going from Essex or if anyone really wants to see Hacker Voice Radio on all their screens and willing to give me a lift for it, then, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, we're actually good for time right now. We've just lapsed an hour.
Cool.
So it was a good episode. Got a few things off my chest.
Yeah,
I think we hit everything we wanted to. So.
As far as tomorrow, I don't think there'll be an episode from me. I don't know if you want to do one, Planet. You'll feel free to do so.
I wouldn't like to promise to do one.
Okay.
I can say I will attempt to.
Okay.
Because obviously I'm taking all the audio cables out.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out what the hell is going on. I'm going back to the basics.
Yeah.
And if that means I can get all of that shite done by Showtime Friday, then there will be a show. But don't, for crying out loud, bank on it. Don't put money on it.
Yeah, well, if you do get one going, then I can join in from the LAN and get everyone there to join in. We can have huge numbers of people.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool.
Be fun.
The reason I won't be there is because I'm going to be at the 2600 meeting. So, yeah. Cool. Well, I'll be saying goodnight because I'm fucking tired. Yeah.
Here's how this goes anyway.
I'm going to be going straight to fucking bed after this and trying to wake up tomorrow.
I'm going to be up for 3 days after this, so I think I better get some sleep as well.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, thanks for joining us again.
Cheers, guys.
Good night.
Yep. See you later.
Bye.
Good night for me. Thanks for tuning in.